Have you ever heard someone use the phrase love-hate relationship? It's usually used to refer to a complicated relationship where there is both the presence of love and hate. I know a man who describes his relationship with his mother-in-law as a love-hate relationship. As he puts it, just to be clear, there it's not about anyone seated here. So don't amen me. As he describes it, I love her. I love her. But she hates me. And if we use that definition of a love-hate relationship, then we can accurately say that God has people in this world who have a love-hate relationship with this world. We can also say that God himself has a love-hate relationship with this world, in that God loves the world. The world hates God. We saw this back in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. In John 7:17, Jesus said that the world hates me, he says. The world hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. And in our passage today, Jesus has just explained to his disciples that the world will hate them too. This is a conversation on the last night before Jesus' death on the cross. He tells them, you are going to have a love-hate relationship with the world. You will love them, but they will hate you. In understanding what Jesus is saying here, and in understanding this passage of Scripture, you have to understand that there are two distinct groups talked about. There is the world, and there is the people that belong to Jesus. We'll call this the church. The world and the church. The world, we will see, are defined by hate. The church is defined by love. In John chapter 15, before Jesus started talking about this hatred of the world, he commands his disciples, you're going to love one another. And he wants his disciples to love the world the way he has. Being a Christian in this world means there will be people who hate you. I want you to see today that every Christian must understand these things, or we will be blindsided. We will be, we will have a sense of stumbling, saying, what is going on here? Why is this happening the way it's happening? When we face this opposition. And so I want you to see from our passage that there is this distinction, and that in light of the hostility, there is a danger, and that the reason there that this is happening is because that there is a deliverer. A distinction, a danger, and a deliverer. First, let's talk about the distinction. Every person either knows God in Christ or they do not. This is what we've seen since John 14. There's one way to the Father. There's one way to know God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 18 of the last of the chapter 15, Jesus said this. He refers to the world. He said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Here in chapter 16, he begins this with saying, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. Verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogues. Verse 3, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. To whom is he referring when he says they? He's referring all the way back to this group called the world. And so what do we mean by the world? What did Jesus mean when he said the world, this group that will hate you, who are my followers? In a couple of commentaries, D.A. Carson refers to the world because of the way that John describes in the Gospel of John as the created moral order in active rebellion against God. But I like the definition of David Jackman a little better. He refers to the world in this way. It is human society organized without reference to God. human society organized without reference to God. There is a distinction between the world and the people that belong to Jesus. Jesus is telling his disciples that there will be hatred from this group. They will hate you. And he said, remember, they hated me first. He said that there will be hatred from the world, but I will send you a helper. We heard about that last week. We'll hear more about it next. The helper is the Holy Spirit sent to keep us from falling away. Jesus told them these things about the hatred from the world and about the helper whom he will send, so that when it happens, they may remember that he told them that it would happen. You see, friends, there is a distinction. Either you know Jesus or you belong to the world. Either you have come to know the Father through Jesus, or you are still a part of this group that Jesus calls the world. There are no other groups, and there is no middle ground. So he says back in 15:20, remember the word that I've said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Being a Christian means standing on this side and not on the world's side. And so Jesus says, you need to understand that walking with me in this context, this world, the world, means hostility for you. This is not unique to the Gospel of John. Throughout the New Testament, we see this, that to belong to Jesus means that there will be difficulty, there will be opposition. In his letter, 1 Peter, Peter says this, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. In other words, Peter is saying, this is normal, this is what you ought to expect. But, he says, rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. See, the people that belong to Jesus, while they have conflict with and hostility from the world, are told to lift their gaze, to see things which are beyond the world. And in doing this, we won't be stuck in this paradigm of just hostility from the world and nothing else. Jesus says a few things about the world and his people. They, he says, the people who oppose will, he says, put you out of the synagogues. You see, in this world, the world has a way of acting. And the defining characteristic that we see here is that it is hatred. When it comes to the synagogue, for Jesus' disciples, that means the place of privilege, the place of worship, was controlled by the world. And Jesus said, you as my followers, you won't be welcome there anymore. You see, in the world now, what does that mean for us? Well, those who are ordered without reference to God in this world have control over certain domains. And being a Christian, you will be excluded. You will be pushed away from those. Charlotte said this morning. She said, when you're a Pine Brook, you can be there and no one is going to make fun of you for being a Christian, for your faith. And did you hear what she said right after that? It's almost the exact opposite in school. Well done, Charlotte. They will push you out of witnessing for Jesus when you're walking down the halls in East. They will push you out of the synagogue, so to speak, of speaking up for Jesus when you are in the halls in Coatesville. They will put you out of the synagogues. Jesus calls this their hour. He refers to this in this passage. When this hour comes, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. He says their hour. They will have the upper hand in this world. The people of the world will have the upper hand now and here. He calls it an hour, though, for Christians who know that this world is all there is, can look at these things and this time and these experiences that we have and say, this is for an hour. And we can endure it. And we can even rejoice in suffering for the name of Jesus, because it is only their hour. It will not last forever. He says, they will kill you. And they will do this with their words and literally. They will kill you physically. And when they do this, when you are hurt by the world because you stand with Jesus, he says, they will think that this is service to God. You see, the world has a self-righteousness about it. The world, in opposing Christians, thinks, I am right. And you know where you see this very strongly? If you don't see it overtly in your workplace or in your neighborhood or in your extended family, perhaps without believers present, you will see it on social media strongly. There's a movie that my children watched yesterday. We had an injury in the household, and it's better now. But while we were attending to some things, some of the children and some friends were over, and they were watching a movie where there is an evil person who is controlling people through hypnotism. And this evil person is called the Screen Slaver. Some of you know the movie to which I refer. The Screen Slaver is someone in this movie who will get control of people by putting screens in front of them, and they are controlled hypnotically through these screens. And as they watch these screens, they are under the control, and they do whatever the screen tells them to do. So it is with those who will oppose you and kill you in this hour. They think they are doing what is right, but they are under this control. They think they are serving God. We need to know how the very thinking of everyone under this sway of the world is controlled and doesn't have the reality of being broken out of that hypnotic trance. The very mindset of these opponents is so warped. And what you see, if you look at social media, choose your kind, is that you will see people arguing and fighting. And you will also see Christians trying to engage in this. And I see something that's a major problem, and I want to warn you about this. That when we engage with the world on the world's terms, we will always lose. You can't beat hatred with hatred, and you can't beat worldly arguments with worldly arguments if you're a Christian. Why all this hostility? Again, last chapter, verse 21, but these things they will do to you on account of my name. We have to know that first that there is a distinction. Jesus said, they will do these things to you on account of my name because they do not know him who sent me. Without knowing God, truly, through Jesus, this makes sense to a person. And here is something that we should remember. We were in just such a position before God removed the hypnotic trance that we were under as well. So there's a distinction. Very briefly, next is the danger. There is a danger. Well, what is the danger? The danger is not being killed. The danger is not being hated. The danger is not being persecuted or ridiculed. That is not the danger Jesus is warning them about. Look at what it says here. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. That is the heart of the danger. For someone who would come after Christ, who would follow him, the danger is the falling away. What does that word mean, falling away? It's not the hatred or the suffering that this hostility and this distinction brings. It is the falling away. The disciples need to know about this love-hate relationship in order to be kept from falling away. And so do we. The word is the Greek word from which we get the word scandal. It means to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way. The scandal, it is something upon which another may trip and fall, literally, to be a stumbling block. In the New Testament, it's almost always used metaphorically to mean to offend, to become indignant and to fall away. In other words, if you're walking and you trip on something, you will fall and say, I don't want to walk this way anymore. I'm going back. In the Christian life, if you come to Pinebrook, if you come to church, and you say, you know, I'm interested in this Jesus stuff, but then by identifying with him and you start going down this direction, you stumble over some things. You experience the hostility and the hatred of the world. You could stumble in such a way to say, I didn't sign up for this. And I'm going to turn around and I'm out. That's the danger, and that's what Jesus is warning them about. Now, here's what I want us to think about and focus on, because this is how it applies to us. In our distinction and with this danger, what is the real battle? What is really happening? And what does winning look like in this fight, in this conflict? Or here's another question. When you realize that you are in conflict and you're being ridiculed or hated or opposed because you identify with Jesus in this world, what is your goal in the conflict? Again, social media. If you use hate, the world will win. It doesn't work that way. You see, the way that you can overcome darkness is not with darkness. You can overcome darkness with light. And in that way, Jesus came into the world. Jesus brought life. Jesus brought light. In John 1:1, he says these things. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus came into this world, and he lived, and it was different than the world. And the world hated him. He said, these things that are defining the world are wrong. He testified against it, and they said, we hate you, we want to kill you. But look at the effect. He came into the world to bring life, and he came into the world to take those who are bound and controlled and whose minds are focused on everything that is constrained by this definition of the world, without reference to God, and he came in to redeem from the world. If we're engaged in social media and we use these weapons of hostility and of anger, it won't work. Jesus has been telling his disciples, I want you guys to love one another. And what did he say would happen? I want you to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. You see, there's something different about Jesus than the whole world. And there's something different about his followers that is different than the whole world. So when a middle schooler walks down the hallway and doesn't yell back, doesn't talk back, doesn't respond the way the world responds, but responds in a Christ-like way, maybe even showing kindness in the face of hostility, maybe speaking the truth in the context of lies, well, that kid stands out. And when people see this, then those who are under this hypnotic gaze, this control of the world, will see it and they'll say, that person belongs to Jesus. Look at the way they treat each other. Look at the way they act. It is different. And so we have a distinction, we have a danger, and we have a deliverer. Jesus is talking to his closest disciples, and this is the last night. This is before he knows he will be killed on a cross, and he knows that this is going to be hard for them. He even tells them, look, you guys are going to run away before I bring you back together. It's going to be very hard. Jesus says, I want you to understand these things so that it's not overwhelming, so that you don't stumble over this, because it's going to be hard. Jesus is telling them a message that is different than your best life now. And that's the way we have to understand it. In this world, we're not guaranteed an easy road. In fact, we are guaranteed a difficult road if we desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. But we have a deliverer. And that's what I want you to see thirdly. Again, from the last chapter and verse 27, Jesus ends before this chapter begins with these words. And you, speaking to these men, you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. His men were part of this rescue mission of coming into the world and being a part of bringing Him who is the life and the light of man to this world and the only hope that there is for this world. We who know Him are a part of this mission as well. It is a rescue mission. Again, that movie and the screen slaver, whoever looked at these screens was hypnotized. They were controlled by the screen slaver who wants to control them all. But when some of them try to rescue the others from the screen slaver's control, those who were wearing the masks were fighting against getting rescued. And what they had to do, what the good guys had to do in the movie, was to get these masks that had the hypnotic screens hypnotizing them. They had to get them off of their face. But those that were controlled by the screens were fighting against it. We don't want it. We don't. In fact, we want to put the screen on you. We want you to think the way we think. But the good guys were saying, we're going to do this, and they would fight, and they would peel these goggles off that had the screens inside. And that was the only way they could rescue them. The only fight until the mind control is broken, until the mask is removed and they wake up from the hypnotic control of a life without reference to God, is to see something outside of it that is different. The only way that we as Christians can engage in this rescue mission is by being witnesses to the deliverer. Again, verse 27, Jesus said, you will bear witness. What does that mean? Charlotte didn't have to have all the answers. I keep referencing you. I hope you're not embarrassed. In her cabin, the first time being a leader in that way, you know what? You don't have to have all the answers to be a witness. What do you have to do? A witness says, this is what I know. This is what I have experienced. This is what I have learned. This is what I have read. You don't have to have all the answers. And when you engage in social media, you can do it in a different way because we are pointing to a deliverer. Again, this rescue mission, we can't break into this by human strength. We can't use the world's methods to break in and conquer the world. There's a lot said about that. In Colossians chapter 1, it says this, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, we were a part of the world, all of us who are Christians today. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. It's an amazing thing that He has done. Look at what it says. He reconciled us to Himself. He rescued us out of the world and brought us into His family, to being one of His people. He's the one that did it. We testify about Him. He's getting us ready for this. Everyone in this world who does not know the Father or Jesus the Son will be hostile towards those who are outside of the world, who have something different, until they come to know Him. Look at what our verse says. Verse 3, they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. Remember back in chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Friends, the difference is this. What we are bringing to this world is not moralism. It's not that when we see someone on Facebook, and we see something awful on Facebook like abortion, and these terrible things that we've seen in New York and Virginia in the last few weeks, that we should respond by saying, you're bad, we're good, you're wrong, we're right. Because that's exactly what the world does. Do you know what the world needs? Now, that is all true. Abortion is evil, and it is wrong. But what the world needs is not moralism, because that won't break into the world. The world has great defenses against moralism. What the world needs is to know Jesus. They need to know that there's a Redeemer. They need to know in our lives that we're different because of Him, and we bear witness to Him. And when that happens, it's like someone expects to get punches coming back at them, and they get a bouquet of flowers. And we say, you know what? I was thinking exactly the same way. Or I even have sinned in these ways, but I found a Redeemer. And when they hear that, all of a sudden, we're not fighting back in the ways of the world, and it's different. We are witnesses to Jesus. There is a Deliverer. A little more on that. When you are engaging with the world, when it's social media or in your workplace or in the school or wherever, the goal is this. The goal is to bear witness to Jesus and to walk with Him. He will make Himself known through us. He has sent us His Holy Spirit to guide us, to be with us so that we're not alone. And when this happens, He will transform people and He will rescue them in order to present even people that we would fight with holy and blameless and above reproach. That's how we came into this family. To know Him is to have eternal life. And that also means hatred from the world. Now, something that Jim Sack says all the time. In fact, he said it again this morning at Sunday school. Something to remember so that you don't stumble, so that you have the right mindset in this paradigm. Belonging to Jesus, being in the world. When the Apostle Paul was persecuting the church, he was going from town to town and he was opposing them. And Jesus met him on that road and he said, he knocked him down and they saw a great light and they heard a heavenly voice. And it was Jesus Himself. And what did He say? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting Me? You see, Saul, the Pharisee, the religious guy that could kick people out of the synagogue, the guy that had climbed the ladders and established himself in this world in a very religious way, didn't know Jesus, and he didn't know the Father. And when he was hurting the church, he thought he was doing service for God. He thought he was serving God. And Jesus came to him, and Jesus broke in and revealed Himself to Saul. And what did He say? He said, why are you persecuting Me? Who was He persecuting? Saul was carrying off men and women. He was dragging men and women from their worship. And he was taking them and putting them in prison and having them killed. That's what he was doing. It was men and women that were following Jesus in this world. But what did Jesus say? Why are you persecuting Me? Brothers and sisters, if you receive hostility from the world, you can rejoice that you get to suffer for the name of Jesus. And you can know this, that when they hate you, what they are doing is they are persecuting Jesus Himself. And when you suffer with Him, the world will know it is different. There is something different. Again, some Coptics recently were killed with a bombing in Egypt. It was in 2018. And someone on Al Jazeera, a Muslim news commentator, said, there is something different about these Christians, because the family members of those that were killed said, we will forgive those that killed our loved ones. We have no anger towards them. And when they didn't fight the way the world fights, the commentator, the Muslim Arab man on Al Jazeera said, these Christians are made out of steel. There is something completely different about them. And he was speechless. He didn't even know what to say. So friends, Jesus is getting us ready. We have to know where we stand in this world, and we have to know the way we need to live in this world, and that is in step with Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit. So there is this distinction. There's the danger, and that's what we're warning ourselves against today. And there is a deliverer. He lives in us, and the world comes to know Him by our witness. Let's pray.